Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry KB, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Wednesday, January the 9th, 2019. This is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're at page XXVIII. That's in the doctor's opinion, and we're starting with the second paragraph beginning with frothy emotional appeal, and it ends with if they are to recreate their lives. Today's readers are, and we will be reading only commenting on that one paragraph. Today's readers are Nancy T. for the 12 steps, Athena B. for the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Cindy D., Penny L.C., and Wendy M. And our newcomer greeter today is Melanie C. The share ID for yesterday's Tuesday, January the 8th, 2019, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 12,395. That's 12,395. And the share ID for this morning's Wednesday, January 9th meeting, our 7 a.m. Eastern Time is 12,400. So that's 12400. The OA pre-emblem. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Nancy T. to read our 12 steps of OA. Nancy, star 1 to unmute, please. Nancy? Can't hear you. Can you star 1 to unmute? Would somebody else please like to read the 12 steps of OA?
Sherry, this is Athena B. I can do it.
Okay, Athena, thank you.
Okay, the 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And I pass.
Thank you, Athena. And would you mind reading the 12 traditions, unless somebody else would like to volunteer?
I'm happy to do it.
Okay. Thank you, Athena. Thank you for double dipping today.
Oh, no problem at all. It's my pleasure. Athena B., recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting.
Ma'am, nobody cares about your primary.
Yeah, ma'am, nobody cares. Shut up.
Thank you.
8, anonymous should remain forever professional. Non-professional, our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may
have
service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you, Athena B., for both the 12 steps and the 12 traditions this morning. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and our readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study on the Big Book on page XXVIII, and that is in the doctor's opinion. We're on the second paragraph, and it begins with frothy emotional appeal. We're reading through one paragraph only, and it does end in if they are to recreate their lives. We have Cindy D is going to get us started. Cindy?
Thanks, Sherry. Good morning, everybody. I'm gratefully recovered in Texas. Frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. The message we can interest and hold these alcoholic people must have depth and weight. In nearly all cases, their ideals must be grounded in a power greater than themselves if they are to recreate their lives. When I think about this, you know, what comes to mind for me is something I heard Harlan say earlier today, that, you know, we compulsive overeaters, we speak the language of the heart. And for me, what that means is, you know, when we speak our truth from, you know, the depths of our being, the depth of our soul, and we tell our story to another compulsive overeater, there's an immediate rapport, there's an immediate connection, there's an identification. And what I find is that's when you know, the other person will open up and share, you know, their truth and their soul. And it really does have depth and weight. We can feel it when we talk to each other because we identify. And I remember when I first came to back to program and was talking with someone on the phone, and they said, well, I think I want to do this. I think I'm willing. And she said, well, that sounds like frothy emotional appeal. And I'm like, whoa, okay. And so I, you know, really had to look at that and think about, was I willing to turn everything over to my higher power? And I was. And I started working. And now I am in that place where I feel grounded, you know, that my roots are in a power that's greater than me. Left to my own devices, I certainly wouldn't be in this recovered state. And I am working to recreate my life, you know, to obtain a place of calm and peace and serenity. And it's only through working the steps and being in this fellowship that I am doing that, because it affects literally every aspect of my life. I see it in my relationships. I see it in how I interact with people out in the world. I see it in how problems come and go for me now, and how I see choices that I have. So I believe everything that it says here is I've experienced it, and I see it happen with the people that I work with every day. So thank you for letting me share. I'm so grateful to be here and have this opportunity. And with that, I'll pass.
Grateful that you're here. Honest, which
just reminding you again that we're on Roman numeral XXVIII in the doctor's opinion on the second paragraph, beginning with frothy emotional appeal. We're going to read that one paragraph only, and it does end in a fair to recreate their lives. Who would like to share?
Marissa E.
Okay, I heard Marissa E.
Jackie H.
I'm sorry, say that again, please.
Jackie H.
Jackie
Bruce
A.
E.
Wendy M.
Give me just a second here. Jackie A. Bruce.
Reggie
E.
O. E.
B as in boy.
No, E as in Edward.
E as in Edward. Thank you, Bruce. Mm-hmm. Okay,
thank
then
you.
I heard Wendy M.
Lynette
P. Katrina.
Lynette
Reggie
P.
O. Reggie O.
Let's see, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I'm going to take Reggie. So we're going to take 6 people. And then please bear with me, and we'll get you on the second round. So that is Marissa E., Jackie A., Bruce E., Wendy M., Lynette P., Reggie O. Marissa E., go ahead, please.
Good morning, Sherry. Good morning, my fellows. This is Marissa E. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater outside Los Angeles. Frothy emotional appeal. I was reflecting on this and just some of the frothy emotional appeal that I actually ran on before I got to program, and even in program. Like, nothing tastes as good as thin feels, right? A moment on the lips, a lifetime on the hips. And you are what you eat. And even when I'm saying it, it's so superficial. It's so empty, you know. That never, ever, ever kept me away from taking that first compulsive bite. You know, it seldom sufficed. And, right, our message, it has to have depth and weight. And I looked up depth, and one of the synonyms is genuine, right? We have to be genuine. We have to be rigorously honest. We have to be authentic. And I have to tell my truth. When people call me, I don't tell them that it's all sunshine and roses, right? I tell them about hitting my bottom. I tell them about binging in program, restricting in program, lying to my sponsor, lying to my fellows, taking chips when I was not abstinent. And you know what people do? They relate. They relate to that. It's not that frothy, everything's perfect. And yeah, for me, right, that's what I need too. That's what I need to hear. And that's what I hear on Vision. I hear experience, strength, and hope. I hear that I have an allergy of the body, an obsession of the mind, and that if I don't work this program, I'm going to die or go permanently insane.
Hey,
right.
Hey.
That does have depth and weight. And I'm so grateful that no one's telling me like, oh, Marissa, like, nothing tastes as good as abstinence feels. Like, we don't run on that here. We run on, we are sick, we are dying, we have a disease. There is a solution. You have to get connected to a higher power or, you know, I'm screwed. So I'm just so grateful that we just emphasize and re-emphasize and smash home here this program. So thank you, Sherry, and my fellows. Have a good day.
Thank you, Marissa. And Jackie A., you're up, followed by Bruce E.
Good morning. This is Jackie H., actually, in Colorado. Yeah, recovered in Colorado. Thank you, Sherry, for your service, and thank you all for being here this wonderful day and this wonderful meeting. I'd like to key in nearly all cases, their ideals must, and I circle must, be grounded in a power greater than themselves if they are to recreate their lives. And though this is a book of suggestions, right, there are some musts that there's no wiggle room, and this is one of them. And I was just thinking about myself and how I have searched high and low, and I've tried lots of avenues to have this spiritual awakening, to recreate my life, right? And there's so much out there. Recreate your life. Write your story new, right? All that stuff is awesome. And all that stuff is kind of frothy emotional appeal for me. But I did it all, and I still am invited to do it today on occasion. But when I came in here, and it's so interesting to do these 12 steps, do them in order, like they're supposed to be done, something does happen. The divine is weaved in these steps, and I can't explain it. I don't even try to explain it, and I can't even explain God. I love Harlan says he knows two things about God, that there is one and he's not one, and that's just about where I am today, because I used to have all kinds of beliefs and concepts about it. But I wanted to recreate my life. I wanted to have a spiritual awakening, and a spiritual awakening to me is not anything magical or mystical. It's just waking up, right? And to recreate my life on my own merit, I made a real big mess of it. I looked good on the outside sometimes, and sometimes I didn't look so good. But to get through these steps and to actually have a spiritual awakening, I am watching my life be recreated. And I'm doing the step work. I'm doing the work that I need to do. I don't sit around and just pray for a magical bullet or a pill or something. But God is doing it through me for once. And this is what I've wanted ever since I was a little girl. And I'm very, very convinced that if I don't do the work as designed in here, this is a design for living, right? Not just for overeaters or alcoholics. This is a design for living for human beings. If I don't follow these directions, if I don't do this design for living, I can go back to sleep. I can go back to sleep in a heartbeat. And so I cannot rest on that spiritual experience that I had yesterday. And I have these beautiful spiritual experiences. But I can't rest on those. Every morning I get up and I am a compulsive overeater. And I get to plug in that lamp, right, to my higher power. And so today I am most grateful. And thank you all. Love you. Have a wonderful day. I pass.
Thank you, Jackie H. And Bruce E., you're up, followed by Wendy M. Bruce?
Well, thank you. Yeah, Bruce E. in right around the Fort Myers, Florida area, recovered down here, and really glad to be on the call. Thank you, everybody. And anywhere in this big, in doctor's opinion is good to talk about, and this especially is, but I have to have some depth and weight. So my program before, man, it didn't have any depth and weight. I didn't have anything to carry anybody, you know, because I didn't have any depth and weight. So I think I got a little bit now that I'm recovered, and I need to carry that to others. Their ideals must be grounded in a power greater than themselves. So previously, before getting recovered in vision here, I had a power greater than myself, but I didn't count on him for this. And, you know, I'd prayed a number of times and asked, and it just didn't seem to come through. And so I guess the doubt came in. And so I didn't have any recovery. So now I believe that I'm grounded in a power greater than myself. And if they are to recreate themselves now, I think it's this recreation process is ongoing for me. So I must continue, or it has to continue to be a recreation, ongoing recreation process as I continue on these calls and talk to people and try to help others and read the literature and so forth. I believe that I'm, you know, I'm either getting worse or I'm staying, and I'm not going to stay the same, or I'm getting better, and I hope I'm getting better by doing all of this. Frothy emotional appeal, well, that reminds me of when my, before I even got into pro years ago, you know, my roommate and I went out to dinner, and he went to the washroom or something, and, you know, the bread basket was there. I cleared the bread basket. I was about ready to start on the crackers, and he came out and said, "Man, what are you doing? You ate that whole thing." He said, "You know, have some willpower. You know, get your act together. Get you know, that was all for that. None of that worked. I didn't even know what he was talking about. I didn't even know I ate it all. You know, so anyway, yeah, frothy emotional appeal never worked for me, but this program works, and I'm happy to be on this line. Glad to be a part of it, and with that, I pass.
Thank you, Bruce. And Wendy M., you're up next, followed by Lynette P. Wendy?
Yes, good morning. This is Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. So happy to be on the line, Sherry. Thank you for your service. So I just love these words, frothy emotional appeal. Like, that was my life. That's how I tried to get through life, is to frothy emotionally appeal something to you, right? Like, I know the answer. I've got the answer. Let me just tell you how it should change. And frothy emotional appeal for me in terms of the food was, you know, what I heard my whole life. You'd be so pretty if you would just lose the weight. You have such a pretty face. Or you'd be happier if you lose the weight. And, or, you know, you just shouldn't, just don't eat. Or just don't eat the fried foods. Or just exercise more, right? So that's, you know, what most of us heard our whole lives. You know, something's wrong with you and you should change it. And that never, ever took root for me. All that did was make me feel ashamed of who I actually was. But then I entered the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous and I heard depth and weight immediately, right? So people weren't telling me how to be, just do this, Wendy, ever. All they did was share their experience, strength, and hope. And their experience with the food, their experience with life, yes, oh my God, I'm hearing my message, right? I'm hearing my story, and that has depth and weight. They understood why I couldn't just eat one Oreo cookie. They understood that I had to get through the entire bag. Absolutely, no questions asked, right? That has depth and weight. And the reason I'm on the line this morning is because your stories have depth and weight, because they're not brought the emotional appeal. They're depth and weight. They're my story. And I heard, you eat how I eat. You think how I think. You behave how I behave. Oh, my God. I'm in the right room. And not only that, it's a game changer because I trust you. I trust you because your stories have depth and weight. I trust you because you're telling me my story back to me. I'm not alone. I'm not crazy. And more importantly, I heard that there was a solution. And it turns out that there is a solution. So my whole life was brought the emotion. None of those things had depth and weight. None of them had an answer. This is the only thing in my life where I am actually neutral with the food. And I got to tell you something, I'm not just neutral with the food, right? I mean, we're recreating our lives here. I had an experience yesterday where I became neutral to another human being. That's amazing, right? Because you put the food down and you find out what you're eating over. And I was eating over relationships. And I got a chance to feel neutrality with another human being. This is huge, right? This is the recreating our lives piece of the program, when it's grounded in not only God, but depth and weight. When it's true, your story that you're telling me now is true. My sponsees are on the line with me because we do the same thing with an Oreo cookie. We do the same thing with our husbands, wives, ex-husbands, children. We do the same thing. I share my experience. I tell you my truth, and you repeat back to me the exact same experience, right? We're not alone, but more importantly, there's a solution. And the only thing that changes in this program is everything. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Wendy M. And Lynette P., you're up next, followed by Reggie O.
Thank you, Sherry. This is Lynette P., recovered in Southern California. And the word that has always popped out to me in this paragraph, similar to other words in the book, is recreate, just like redirect or inwardly reorganized. You know, I just love all of those because they're so hopeful. They have always been hopeful to me, even when I wasn't hopeful with myself. So there's always been hope here. And when I look at the words depth and weight, that's what I heard on these meetings when I first started to listen 2.5 years ago. Unlike any other time, and I've been in the rooms and first came to OA, I think, over 40 years ago. And there was recovery at different times, but this is a different level for me, for vision. So the depth and weight, it comes across with the problem that we all share, but the depth and weight also comes across differently as well as we are working the steps. The depth and weight comes across in the solution. And all of that, you know, it says the ideal must be grounded in a power greater than ourselves. It's not me. you know, so I don't have to do it alone and I don't have to do it on willpower. But I think that's a major difference, excuse me, in the last couple, 2.5 years, is the reliance and trust on a power greater than myself on a daily basis and everything that I do on a daily basis to connect to my higher power and to bring so much back to my higher power. If I'm to recreate my life, which could be all sorts of different things or different aspects of my life. It's on a daily basis. It is personally, professionally, in a marriage. There are just so many facets to it. And I think that's what gives me the hope. And then I see results and I see it in other people. And alluding to the previous paragraph, for me, I've gone through the steps again recently, and based on the big book, but still slightly different, and it gave me just another avenue to work the steps. And so all of this is helping me and helping me to connect to my higher power. Just, again, a wonderful experience again. And I have this sort of in my toolbox to help other people, but it just comes back to the steps, comes back to this doctor's opinion that really grabbed me and continues to grab me because I identify with it so much. They're alcoholics. I'm a compulsive eater. I have the cravings, I have the allergy, I have the obsession, but I have the hope because I know that I can recreate my life, and I am recreating my life with my higher power and all of you. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Lynette. And before Reggie O shares with us, I just want to remind everybody where we're at. We're in the doctor's opinion, page XXVIII. The second paragraph, beginning with frothy emotional appeal, and it ends with, if they are to recreate their lives. Reggie O, go ahead, please. And I'll take names after Reggie finishes. Thank you. Reggie, go ahead.
Good morning, Sherry. Thanks so much for your service. And boy, oh boy, this is Reggie O at outside Los Angeles, greater Los Angeles area. And this paragraph has been amazing, you know, for me this morning. I, you know, the message for me, the one that grabbed me the first time I read the doctor's opinion in vision, and I'd never really, I don't even know if I'd read the doctor's opinion before, even though I've been through the steps multiple times. But what really got me was If they are to recreate their lives, and boy, oh boy, did I have a desire to recreate my life, so many aspects of my life, and that just, it just opened up and gave me so much hope and wish and desire. And, but the paragraph starts with, you know, the, well, brought the emotional appeal seldom suffices, but it's the message, you know, the message, which can interest and hold these people. You know, the message is that we can recover, you know, we compulsive overeaters can recover through abstinence and through working the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. That is our message, and it must be grounded in depth and weight. It must be, you know, it says genuine. And I love the definition someone brought forth this morning of depth, which is genuine. Because I, you know, to me, that's one of the most important things, that one of the deepest heartfelt desires that I have is to be genuine, you know, is to let go of, you know, everything that is not me and all of the things that I put up to, you know, protect myself and this and that. You know, I just like, I don't want any of it, and I don't want any of it anymore. So, and it must be grounded in a power greater than myself, you know, because that was the problem, you know, that's what I'm told. And that's what I certainly have learned and experienced. It's, you know, lack of power. That is my problem. I have no power to do anything about my compulsive eating problem by myself, you know. And this is a we program. And I, you know, I look at we, you know, in this program, I'm looking at we in a different way. It's kind of like threefold, isn't it? It's me, all of you, and it's God. You know, God is always in the equation. And this is what the work is, you know, is to find a relationship with that power, God, of our own, each of our own understanding, through the work of the 12 steps and continuing that work. And the recreation is ongoing. And I can, I'm so grateful and can so... say yes to that. I just completed my fear inventory on another time through the steps, and two fears came forth that were probably the biggest fears of one of my adult life and two of most of my life, and they had been so hidden away that I was just not in touch with them. And one of them I didn't even want to put language to, not only for another person to hear, but for my own self to say or write out loud. And I got the courage yesterday morning to do that on through an inspiration, and it was transforming. And so anyhow, thank you for all being there, and I pass.
Thank you, Reggio. And so now we have time for more sharing. And again, just reminding you, we're on Roman numeral XXVIII, the doctor's opinion, second paragraph, starting with frothy emotional appeal, ending in if they are to recreate their lives. Who would like to share?
Beatrice
Rowena C.
Okay, I heard
John
Beatrice
K.
O.
This is Raquel from Israel.
I heard John K.
Rowena.
Rowena. And what's your last initial, Rowena?
K.
K. And I have room for three more.
Rebecca
Nicole C.
Rebecca.
Hi.
I heard Rebecca.
Yeah.
Nicole C.
Rebecca, what's your last initial, please?
T.
T as in Tom?
Yeah.
Okay, and I heard Nicole C, and I have room for one more.
Jenny
Raquel.
A. Jenny.
Raquel from Israel.
I think I heard Raquel before me.
Okay. Jenny, we'll piggyback if we can get you in, but we'll put Raquel in. That was very nice of you.
Okay.
All right, so this is who I have. I have Beatrice O, John K, Rowena K, Rebecca T, Nicole C, Raquel. What's your last initial, please?
E.
E.
And
then Jenny, what was your last initial? Okay, well, we'll try to fit Jenny in. Beatrice O, you're up. And
hello.
John K will follow.
Okay, this is Beatrice O from California. So the emotional appeal, I think about, that's what I'll, you know, the emotional appeal to me is Jenny Craig, Nutrisystems, Oprah Winfrey. But there's a saying that says it takes one to know one. And I think that's what I get from OA when I listen to the stories. But one of the reasons none of those other comments or organizations work for me is because my mind is fundamentally flawed in respect to food. It's defective in what I think about food and my relationship with food, because food has been my lover. It's been my go-to, and I'm powerless over what I perceive the truth to be about food. And I've used food my entire life. That's why all those other programs never work for me, because I'm a real food addict. And what I've come to know is I'm working on a four-step right now. And what was revealed to me yesterday as I was discussing it, you know, I've been in delusion about not only food, but who I think I am. You know, and there's a part of me that has an innate tendency to even choose myself over God. So even though I claim to be connected to God, I feel God, I know God, there's a little bit of, you know, that agnostic part of me, that do-it-yourself part. So for me to recreate my life, not only do I have to uncover the truth about myself, which I'm doing in this fourth step, which is extremely painful, is the truth about food. And I need someone else to help me realize that. My sponsor, my guide, my God. I spent 40 years in this program.
Time.
In delusion. Anyway, thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Beatrice O. And John K., you're up next, followed by Rowena K. John?
Thank you. This is John Kiernan, recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. You know, every time I read this sentence, fraught the emotional appeal seldom suffices. I think about it in terms of AA, and yeah, people are absolutely begging people who are killing themselves with alcohol, for God's sakes, you got to do something. And I had people do that with that disease. But what I find happens with the food is could be changed to intellectual emotional appeal seldom suffices, or logical appeal seldom suffices. You know, we've all had those things said to us. I mean, I joke sometimes. I said, if somebody came up to me and said, why don't you just eat a little less, and I murdered them, if I had 12 overeaters on that jury, I think I could get off. Because we just get so frustrated. Because, you know, I've said that when I heard people say that, I go, you know, I'm overweight. I'm not stupid. None of us are stupid, you know. And that's the problem with a disease and an addiction, is that it just doesn't work. All my intellect, and I have a really good intellect, and I've used it in so many ways, and most of us have, but it's of no use when you're talking an addiction, you know? As one of my favorite phrases is, you know, you can't fix a broken brain with a broken brain. And for me, it's that matter of that insanity they talk about in the second step. And again, it isn't crazy, you know, unlimited insanity. It's a very specific insanity. And my favorite definition, you may have heard me share this before, is a state of mind that prevents normal perception. And that just hit it right on the head for me when I heard it, because I've got a great brain. And in terms of thinking, what we do all day is make decisions constantly. The trouble is that my addiction, my disease, corrupts the data that is coming into me that helps me make decisions. Because we've all done something with the food, and 5 minutes later going, what the hell did I do that for? And that's the problem with this disease, and that's why we can't do this alone. And we must be grounded in a power greater than ourselves. And what I tell newcomers is, even if you can't come to a thing of a higher power in terms of a God thing, think of it as just these people in this room or this on this line right now who are doing what you can't do, and that's being out of the food. And to realize that the bottom line on this, as far as I'm concerned, is we cannot do this ourselves. Intellect won't help. Fraught the emotional appeal won't help. We need to turn to a higher power. And I believe the higher power, for me, is God. But I also believe God talks through people. It talks through a program and talks through a book like this. Anyway, thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, John. And Rowena K., you're up next, followed by Rebecca T. Rowena?
Hello, this is Rowena K., recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you for letting me share. The bit that stands out for me is, in nearly all cases, the ideals must be grounded in a power greater than themselves. And that I got the power. I mean, I am a power. I think all people have power. But what was really important for me was to see that it was a power greater than myself. For some reason, I never saw the greater part. I always just saw the power. And then as soon as I realized it was a power greater than me, because I'd never really thought, I mean, I knew about God, obviously, but the thought of there being a power greater than me didn't really cross my mind. And also a power greater than food, because there was no power greater than food. There really, really wasn't until I came to this program. It's also, my ideals before OA were, I was always right. It was always important to win the argument. I had no clue about resentments and just how dangerous they are for me. And I also had no clue how to get rid of them. And that's possible now. And the program, is helping me recreate my life through working the steps, obviously. Coming to believe in the power greater than myself, and it's not a complete thing. It's coming, ing, so it's like becoming, and it's something that's happening, rather than a complete action. So it gives me hope because I don't have to completely believe in my higher power. I just have to begin to believe, recreating my life is also if I compare myself how I am now to how I was 10 years ago, even though I've only been entirely abstinent for a short time, days, the difference is just staggering. I would never kind of try to look at my part in the past or even apologize. I mean, I probably would apologize, but I would never really know why I was apologizing, and I understand that now. And the recreation process, it's really, really slow. And it would never be possible if I relied on myself. The only reason recreation is possible in the long term is because I'm beginning to believe in a power greater than myself. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Rowena K. And Rebecca T., you're up, followed by Nicole C.
Hey guys, it's Rebecca T., Bakersfield, California, recovered one day at a time. Thank you all so much for your service. Thank you for being here. Frothy emotional appeal, I myself could relate. It is crazy how many people told me, when are you going to lose weight? Don't you know it's killing you? Or, the sadness. In my family's eyes, when they would see me pick up again, after a series of losing weight and then slowly starting to pick up the weight again. And it did. It took, I read Power Greater Than Myself. I didn't even think I thought I was much. I thought I was so humble. And I thought I was behind the scenes. And, the fourth step, working these steps aggressively, working these steps with someone else, with my sponsor, keeping me accountable. I had no idea I wasn't honest. I had no idea I was head thick in the clouds, well, you know, in the food. But once I put the food down, aggressively starting to work the program, so many things are being revealed. And it was because my ego was so big. It was because I was thinking about myself and my needs, or I was thinking about everybody else and their needs and how I can fix it. So, you know, that was keeping me from having a higher power, keeping me from being led by something else other than myself. And, it took members in the room to tell me clearly what their story was. It took me continuously plugging into this Beautiful Vision program that I heard solutions. I heard, strong recovery. And I was able to listen to those things, heed the warnings, and do the work. And I'm so grateful today. I'm continually going to be plugged in to the spiritual wall and this spiritual program, and keep coming back. Thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you, Rebecca. And Nicole C., you're up, followed by Raquel. Nicole C.?
Good morning. This is Nicole C. in California. Thanks for letting me share. I relate so much to everything that everyone has shared so far. I especially loved what I first heard. I think it was from Marissa, around the sayings that we hear around a minute on the lips, lifetime on the hips. Those things never worked for me. It was heartbreaking to me when I got measured for my wedding dress. I had a tough time in my life, and because of a circumstance, you know, ate over it. I mean, I would have eaten over anything, but, you know, I would roller coaster up, down, weight loss, weight gain, weight. And I was doing okay, and then the circumstance happened where I just ate over it, and I went to pick up my wedding dress that had come in just a couple months later, and I couldn't get it over my thighs. And I was so heartbroken, and knowing that I had a year before the wedding didn't matter. My maid of honor, my best friend, stood there and said, "You can do this. You've got this. You've got a year. This is going to work." It did nothing for me. It did not comfort me. It did not make me feel any better. Not at all. I think if somebody would have paid the most inspirational, motivational speaker in the world and had them come talk to me, I still wouldn't have been convinced that I could do it, because I stopped believing myself, because there were just too many times where I said, all right, you know, today's going to be the day. I'm not going to eat this. I'm not going to eat that. I'm going to lose the weight this year. All right, this is a new year. I had just lied to myself so many times. I had no integrity. I did not believe myself. And it wasn't until I had roller coastered a couple more times and I saw someone that I knew who had gone from obese, quite obese, to probably about a size 2, size 0 maybe. And I had watched this weight literally fly off her, but more importantly, I watched this glow in her eyes come alive. That did something for me. Because her and I would eat together. We were food buddies. We would go to these events, and it was all about the food. And she didn't press the program on me. She just said, this is what I do. She talked about OA. She talked about, thank you. She talked about a new way of life, and that's what sold me. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Nicole. And Raquel, we've got about a minute. If you could go ahead, please. Raquel E.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Raquel, go ahead.
Have,
a minute, please. Thank you.
Thank you for your leadership and your moderation. I had a minute the previous time, too. So while in that 1 minute, I just want to say I wish we would stay on this for 5 more sessions because the sharings are so wonderful. You see God's hand at work because I am one of those who believe that God was holding Bill's hand when he wrote this big book. So, and Dr. Silky, for him not being a man of religion, to say like that so humbly that in most cases it has to come from a higher power, from another power, that power for good, the humility and the recognition that is not going to be done by willpower. And that frothy emotional appeal, that's what it is. And I feel myself doing it sometimes to other people. Like, can't you see? Can't you see? Here, look at my pictures. Look at what happened. And then I had this opportunity this week to talk to a medical person in another field.
Hi.
And it turns out, yes, I'm wrapping up, but her eyes lit up so because her husband needs this. So I have to go and bring her some material and maybe arrange to meet him or send somebody, another man, to talk to him. But this works more and more, I am convinced. And thank you for all of you being there. And I pass.
Thank you, Raquel. Well, that's all the time we have today for sharing. And I want to thank all of you for your shares today. I want to thank Team Wednesday for their service. The 12 Steps and 12 Traditions were read by Athena B. Our reader of the text was Cindy D. And Penny L.C. is going to read on page 164. And Wendy M. was waiting in our wings. Thank you all for your service. So now we're going, oh, sorry, and please, let's not forget Melanie C., our newcomer greeter for today. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Penny L.C., would you please read A Vision for You? Our Big Book is meant to be suggestive only and ends in Keep You Until Then. Thanks, Penny L.C.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you for your service. This is Penny L.C., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and this is the Big Book. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.